so the sandwich maker sang as he worked. He was using the last of the year's salted meat. It was a little past its best now, but still the rich savour of perfectly normal beast meat was something unsurpassed in any of the sandwich maker's previous experience. Next week it was anticipated that the perfectly normal beasts would appear again for their regular migration, whereupon the whole village would once again be plunged into frenetic action, hunting the beasts, killing perhaps 6, maybe even 7 dozen of the thousands that thundered past. Then the beasts must be rapidly butchered and cleaned, most of the meat salted, to keep it through the winter months until the return migration in the spring, which would replenish their supplies. The very best of the meat would be roasted straight away for the feast that marked the autumn passage. The celebrations would last for 3 days of sheer exuberance, dancing, and stories that old Thrashbarg would tell of how the hunt had gone, stories that he would have been busy sitting making up in his hut while the rest of the village was out doing the actual hunting. And then the very, very best of the meat would be saved from the feast and delivered cold to the sandwich maker. And the sandwich maker would exercise on it the skills that he had brought to them from the gods, and make the exquisite sandwiches of the third season, of which the whole village would partake before beginning the next day to prepare themselves for the rigours of the coming winter. Today he was just making ordinary sandwiches, if such delicacies so lovingly crafted could ever be called ordinary. Today his assistant was away, so the sandwich maker was applying his own garnish, which he was happy to do. He was happy with just about everything, in fact. He sliced, he sang, he flipped each slice of meat neatly onto a slice of bread, trimmed it, and assembled all the trimmings into their jigsaw. A little salad, a little sauce, another slice of bread, another sandwich, and another verse of Yellow Submarine. "Hello, Arthur." The sandwich maker almost sliced his thumb off. The villagers had watched in consternation as the woman had marched boldly to the hut of the sandwich maker. The sandwich maker had been sent to them by Almighty Bob in a burning, fiery chariot. This, at least, was what Thrashbarg said, and Thrashbarg was the authority on these things. So, at least, Thrashbarg claimed, and Thrashbarg was, and so on, and so on. It was hardly worth arguing about. A few villagers wondered why Almighty Bob would send his only begotten sandwich maker in a burning, fiery chariot, rather than perhaps in one that might have landed quietly without destroying half the forest, filling it with ghosts, and also injuring the sandwich maker quite badly. Old Thrashbarg said that it was the ineffable will of Bob, and when they asked him what ineffable meant, he said, "Look it up." This was a problem, because old Thrashbarg had the only dictionary, and he wouldn't let them borrow it. They asked him why not, and he said that it was not for them to know the will of Almighty Bob. And when they asked him why not again, he said, because he said so. Anyway, somebody sneaked into old Thrashbarg's hut one day while he was out having a swim, and looked up ineffable. Ineffable apparently meant unknowable, indescribable, unutterable, not to be known or spoken about. So that cleared that up. At least they'd got the sandwiches. One day, old Thrashbarg said that Almighty Bob had decreed that he, Thrashbarg, was to have the first pick of the sandwiches. The villagers asked him when this had happened exactly, and Thrashbarg said it had happened yesterday when they weren't looking. "Have faith," old Thrashbarg said, "or burn." They let him have the first pick of the sandwiches. It seemed easiest. And now this woman had just arrived out of nowhere and gone straight for the sandwich maker's hut. His fame had obviously spread, though it was hard to know where to, since, according to old Thrashbarg, there wasn't anywhere else. Anyway, wherever it was she'd come from, presumably somewhere ineffable, she was here now, and was in the sandwich maker's hut. Who was she? And who was the strange girl, who was hanging around outside the hut moodily, and kicking at stones, and showing every sign of not wanting to be there? It seemed odd that someone should come all the way from somewhere ineffable in a chariot that was obviously a vast improvement on the burning fiery one which had brought them the sandwich maker, if she didn't even want to be here. They all looked to Thrashbarg, but he was on his knees, mumbling, and looking very firmly up into the sky, and not catching anybody else's eye until he had thought of something. "Trillion," said the sandwich maker, sucking his bleeding thumb. "What? Who? When? Where?" "Exactly the questions I was going to ask you," said Trillion, looking around Arthur's hut. It was neatly laid out with his kitchen utensils. There were some fairly basic cupboards and shelves and a basic corner in the bed. A door at the back of the room led to something that Trillian couldn't see because the door was closed. "Nice," she said, in an inquiring tone of voice. She couldn't quite make out what the set-up was.